Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Back to the program. It is Thursday. Yes, if you read the calendar correctly, we're in a new month and the college football season about to begin. Hours from now, right here, as Tennessee kicks it off. Stadium that's only 4 hours away. We will get started here with a couple of headlines and talk about what is currently going on as we get ready. Tennessee football should look different for year two under Josh Heupel. You better believe it. And as we mentioned a minute ago, there will be plenty of evidence of that as the crowd beginning to make its way down toward campus in Knoxville. There's another SEC game tonight. Missouri is on tap. Missouri we'll face Louisiana Tech. That's always a dangerous opponent. We'll talk about that as well this afternoon. And this story broke in SI by Ross Dellinger, and it's a big one, or could be very big. Remember when this story was dead as we gathered in Indianapolis for the CFP championship? It may not be dead any longer. Let's find out exactly what it means and what has brought these group of people to the table. Could mean a lot of things. I want to defer to Ross in a minute, but so much movement in college athletics. Remember those three commissioners, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 who were against it? Well, only one of those three really is looking very strong today, and that's the Big Ten. The other two are hurting badly, a lot of money at stake. Could that be the reason? Money may be the main reason, but let's find out from Ross what exactly is going on. Ross, quite a story that you broke yesterday. Good afternoon. Tell us how we, before we get to what could happen tomorrow, how did we get to this point?
Probably out of frustration from the president. You'll remember, Paul, that 3 years ago, the president's led by the SEC's own Mark Keenum, Mississippi State president. He chairs the presidential board of the CFP, and he told the commissioners, the presidents did, hey, come up with expansion and agree on it. And over the last year, as you know, and a lot of people have probably read, they couldn't do it. They couldn't come to unanimous decision on a playoff expansion format. And I think the presidents now are taking matters kind of into their own hands. They've decided to do it themselves. So they've been talking quite a bit over the last few months about proposals and expansion formats. And I think we're getting to a moment tomorrow where they may actually pull the trigger here and vote themselves and determine an expansion model. And then they'll send it to the commissioners to kind of work out the details. And then the CFP staff, as well as the commissioners, will have to figure out if it is an 11-0 vote, you know, tomorrow, can they actually do it before the contract ends in 2024 or 2025? The deadline for that would seem to have passed, but, you know, maybe they can make anything work here.
So, Ross, let's get to tomorrow. What are you hearing? And basically what I'm reading from your reports is it sounds pretty positive. But so take us through today into tomorrow and what's likely or liable to happen.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of optimism in tomorrow, which some people say is kind of a scary thought, maybe too optimistic. But there is a lot of optimism that the president not only will vote on an expanded playoff, but will vote 11-0. And as you mentioned earlier, the three commissioners of the old alliance, I think now with the Big Ten's acquisition of USC and UCLA, I think you can say the alliance is dead, but the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 commissioners who were against the proposal back when they voted in February now seem to be on board, or at least their presidents are. So there is some optimism that it'll be 11-0, which means the playoff could expand before the ESPN contract ends, which it runs through the 2025 season. They just have to figure out logistically if that's feasible. So there's a lot of optimism that it'll be 11-0, and that we'll have probably a 12-team playoff, either starting in 2026 or 2024 or maybe 2025. So that's the big determining factors, probably more so not will it happen, but when will it start?
And Ross, these people have the if they are unanimous, can order that. But the Power Five commissioners, the same group that shut it down, would they be in charge of? Would they have any jurisdiction here? Or I guess my question is, how do we determine when it is and exactly what it looks like, especially from a television standpoint?
Yeah, well, I think with the presidents, or the vote the presidents are taking is to expand the playoff, and I believe it would entail the number of teams, which is believed to be the 12-team format that was proposed last year by the subcommittee, the CFP subcommittee of commissioners. It'll go to the commissioners to work out all the details, which there's a lot of unresolved issues. I mean, they've been talking about this for a year, so they're close on a lot of things, but the bowl situation, especially with the Rose Bowl, how it plays into an expanded playoff, how the bowls play into an expanded playoff, the revenue distribution, the scheduling of actual dates and games and rounds, all of that will be handled by commissioners. I think it's probably more so up to the CFP staff and Bill Hancock, as well as the commissioners, on deciding when, how quickly they can do this, how quickly they can start an expansion. Paul, they gave the commissioners January, this past January, as a date to try to vote, and get this thing passed. That was the deadline, January, in order to have it start in 2024. And so we're 9 months past that. And so logistically, it could be difficult to start in 24. But I would imagine if the vote tomorrow is 11-0, that they will try.
Yeah, and that, I mean, you want to believe, Ross, and if they do that, but I just feel like as we were disappointed a year ago, it just seems like they'll vote to expand it, and then the nuances and all the complications will rear its ugly head, and we won't get it when we want it.
Well, that's possible. The good thing is that if the presidents do vote and do vote with unanimity, then the commissioners will have pretty good motivation, right, and incentive to agree on things, I think. Your bosses are basically they're saying they're all on board, so you need to find an agreement here and in compromises with some of these concepts. And I think that probably is the kick, in the pants, so to speak, that commissioners probably need. But the thing, Paul, is, and you led off with it, is it's a little ridiculous that we're here right now, right? I mean, it feels like an unnecessary delay of a year. It's kind of head scratching. And I think, part of it was some bitter feelings with realignment. And part of it, I think, especially for the Big Ten side, was getting its media rights deal done and before doing all this. And it was just like a year delay. And now we're, the presidents are kind of scrambling, and the CFP staff has to work out logistics on trying to get something potentially done early when this could have all been done, 6, 8, 10 months ago.
So many people have speculated, Ross, the television component. Now we have not only a two power conferences vying for supremacy, it's also Fox and ESPN. With ESPN having the exclusive rights now, what happens if this thing does get approved for 24, and then what happens when that contract runs out?
Well, that's a really big question, right? So ESPN has the sole rights of the 24 and 25 playoff. And if it's expanded, there's like there's extra shares, additional revenue, but a lot of the commissioners want multiple networks to have a piece of the playoffs. And so, will ESPN, number one, will ESPN be willing to allow the current contract to be blown up to have a new long-term deal where you have multiple networks? Maybe the CFP throws ESPN a bone if they do that in some way. Maybe ESPN signs a long-term deal but still controls at least the first 2 years, and then it's opened up to multiple networks. There are a lot of options here, but that is one of the kind of the biggest issues, because that is a huge issue with a lot of commissioners, namely George Klyavkov and Kevin Warren, wanting multiple networks, not just ESPN, part of the playoff.
Well, when does all this happen tomorrow, Ross?
I think I've been told it's a kind of a midday virtual call, so I would guess early to late afternoon we will have some kind of news. One of three things, Paul. They'll either vote unanimously, 11-0. They'll either vote not unanimously, probably like a 10-1 or 9-2, or they won't take any action at all. So we'll see what happens, but there's a lot of optimism that it will be a vote, and there's optimism that the vote will be unanimous, and they'll get to work on trying to get an expanded playoff before the contract ends.
Great stuff. Ross Dellinger, some tremendous reporting on a breaking story. Thank you very much, Ross. Let's get to today's guest. So we talked to Ross. We have a long way to go. Tom Hart will join us, bottom of the hour, on the call for the big game tonight from Knoxville to Keough Spikes. Lewis Riddick's at the Backyard Brawl. And Griff is probably in the middle of a brawl right now.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Let's start with some phone calls here. We begin in Louisville on this Thursday afternoon, first day of the college football season.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, my questions were going to be about, are we bringing Griff back? And that's been answered. And then my other was some questions on the CFP. It's a great opening interview, but I have some drill down questions for you.
Please.
The beginning question, the first question is, why is it the CFP board versus the commissioners voting tomorrow?
Well, because this is the closest thing you could say is a board of directors, a board of trustees. This is called the management group, John. They have ultimate authority and control over the whole system. The Power Five commissioners and Swarbrick are those who operate, but these are the final voices, so they have the authority.
Okay. Second question would be, would this accelerate expansion? In particular, I'm thinking of the Big Ten, which has really got Notre Dame, Stanford, Washington, Oregon lined up. Would that accelerate that expansion plan?
Now, if Notre Dame is protected in the sense that, and they will be, you know that, that
right.
in a 12-school playoff, there is some clause that gets Notre Dame in, then Notre Dame probably won't be incentivized to get into a conference. But I do think it makes it more likely that you see expansion because you're not as concerned about making the league too tough or X number of games. You can play 9 conference games. You can add as many as you want. And you still, if you're the Big Ten or the SEC, have a chance of putting 4 or 5 teams in on a very good year.
And the last question, Desmond Howard brought this up, I think, on Get Up this morning, but where is all the money going? In particular, how is it distributed now? And then if they pick up another, I don't know, they're suggesting $450 million. How is that distributed to the different schools?
Well, money, I believe, is distributed through the conferences, I think. So it would go to the conferences involved. Now, there may be some stipulators, depending on where you are, but I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
Last question. Given it's a Zoom meeting, what are we going to do with Heather Dendich? I mean, we're used to having her standing outside a conference room door.
Yeah, I suspect Heather will still be standing outside somebody's door.
Hey, have a good trip tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing you on campus. I know you do.
Can't wait. Thank you very much. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Bama Jim is up next.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir. Calling from the great state of Texas, Aledo, Texas. Winner of 10 state championships in college and high school football, more than anybody in the state of Texas. I know you might not want to hear this, but some guy yesterday said he drank 24 beers in an hour, and y'all was figuring up the ounces. Was that yesterday?
Yeah, I think that was, yes. I think we came up with 288 ounces.
Yeah. Well, you know, my father had a strange way of drinking.
What was that?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you now. He was born in Cleveland County, North Carolina.
Okay.
You've probably been through there. Shelby, North Carolina, Gastonia.
Yeah, no.
Up in that way.
I go through there every time I go to Clemson.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was born there and raised there, and then he moved. Anyway, we ended up in Alabama. And he never drank bonded whiskey. You know, he never went to a liquor store and bought no whiskey. Every year, he'd go by himself, and he'd go to North Wilkesboro. And I know you know where North Wilkesboro is. Wilkes County.
Yeah, don't they have a track there?
Yes, and Little Lee's going to run there this weekend. They made it a dirt track.
How about that?
Yeah, but he would go up there, and he would buy moonshine. And he'd bring it back to Alabama.
You can get a lot of moonshine.
And he would drink moonshine. Huh?
I said, you can get a lot of moonshine in North Carolina.
Oh, you know you can. But Wilkes County is the best. It's what he always did.
Okay.
He was hair-lip. He'd say, Peck. He called me Peck. He said, Peck, that's the best right there. Of course, he would drink moonshine, Mr. Feinbaum, and he would chase it with a Snicker bar.
A Snicker bar?
That's all he would ever do.
Now, what was the
Chase it with a Snicker bar.
What did the Snicker bar, what was that supposed to do?
I don't have any idea. He was a fat little fella.
Yeah.
I guess it just kept the weight on him. I don't know. I couldn't, you know. And we were digging a well one time, Mr. Feinbaum.
I asked this to everyone. When was the last time any of you had a Snicker bar? Now, Snicker bar had, if I remember, it was kind of gooey, wasn't it? Like nuts and caramel?
Yeah, it's caramel and nuts and chocolate.
Yeah.
But that's what he did, Mr. Feinbaum.
It's been a while since I've chased anything with a Snickers bar.
I might eat a Snicker bar after I smoked a joint back in the 60s, but
now. I have no idea what you're talking about there. I knew the
Snickers. Oh, yes, you do.
No,
you do.
No,
you grew up in Tennessee, boy. Yeah, don't lie to me.
Well, see, I grew up in West Tennessee, but I went to school in East Tennessee. So what do you think that means?
Well, you've been east, west, and a little bit north up there to that bluegrass in Kentucky.
Yeah. I tell you what, when I was up in the East Tennessee, I mean, we didn't. When you talk about the elevation and the altitude, we weren't talking about the mountains.
Hey, have a great day, man.
Thank you for taking
my call, buddy.
I'll tell you what, I am on my way to get a Snickers bar. Pat is up next.
Hey, Paul, thanks. Hey, back in my college days, I've chased a 12-ounce can with a Snickers bar.
I never knew that was a thing.
Well, you know, sort of like R.C. Cola and a moon pie, Coca-Cola and peanuts,
yeah,
or Dr. Pepper and peanuts.
But I never heard the Snickers bar.
Well, anyway, it seems these academician, collegial, presidential university types, they take a long time to do something until they get hot to trot for the money, don't they?
Yeah, it's amazing how money, you start dragging $100 bills through the presidential suite, and you never know what you'll find.
No, absolutely. I'd like to talk with you about your interview of Brian Harsin yesterday, and I did not go to journalism school, but we got a good one at Georgia, Henry W. Grady. It seems to me like you were lobbing girl slow-pitched softballs at Brian, and I'm a little bit more to the point, but you could have asked him, what's your take on the resignation of AD Allen Green, or how's your relationship with Jimmy Raines, or in light of the events of recent weeks and months, have you changed your philosophy and strategy about head football coaching?
Well, we have one thing in common. I didn't go to journalism school either, so it could be why.
I thought you did.
No, I didn't. I have a liberal arts degree
in
political science and history.
Well, now, you can't get too direct with the coaches, or they'll, I guess they still blackball reporters, but
I think it's a fair question, Pat, and I'm trying to think of a nuanced way to answer the question. The Green part of the equation I didn't ask because he addressed it the other day, and there's almost nothing he can say about that. The other parts are interesting questions, and I also know that he's not going to answer that at the time. And you can read a lot into my answers here. And I realize I'm here for the audience. This is not a personal crusade. Just because I may know the answer doesn't mean you know the answer. But I was trying to keep the interview focused on the beginning of the football season and the most important thing he did as a football coach. And nobody told me what to do. Sometimes coaches do offer. It's not the coaches, Pat. It's their henchmen, so to speak, will say, we're not talking about this or that. And I don't like those type of interviews. I really would prefer never to interview a coach if their handlers tell me what I can and can't ask. In this case, I made those decisions on myself. I'm comfortable with them. I think there'll be another time down the road where these questions will be more germane than on the eve of the opening game. We'll take a short break. We are back after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're back, and you know the college football season, or any season, could be basketball, could be baseball. Any season has arrived when our next guest is Tom Hart. That means summer's over, and we're back to normal programming here. Tom Hart joining us from Knoxville, just hours away from the call. I think it's your first college game of the year. Maybe you did one somewhere else. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, Paul. Great to be with you. Yeah, first game. And we got a doubleheader this weekend. Our crew will be at Alabama Saturday night. So why not ring in the new year with as many games as we can fit in a weekend? It's always a great time of year. And I know Tennessee fans are really pumped up and City of Knoxville's pumped up. So good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, normally, the question is about the game, but I'm more curious before we get to the game about what are you sensing? I mean, you've been in Knoxville for a day or two. This is a fan base. Forget coming back slowly. I mean, they feel like they are well on their way. Tell us what you're sensing.
Well, it's fitting that you just played that clip of Elle talking about her newfound arrogance with Georgia fans and Bama fans' longstanding arrogance and expectations. Tennessee fans have expectations, too. They just haven't won a national title since T. Martin was at quarterback, and it's been a while since they made it back to Atlanta. The confidence that they have, I think, primarily comes from what this offense can do under Josh Heupel, right? And they got Hendon Hooker back, who wasn't the starter at this point last year. We were here for the Bowling Green game to start the season, and Joe Milton was the guy that they had. And they thought that Joe Milton, from a talent standpoint, was the best guy quarterback. They didn't realize, Josh Heupel was telling us yesterday, how much of a gamer Hendon Hooker is, with apologies for using that very trite word. But there's a difference between guys who get in the game and know how to perform and rise up to the expectations. So based on what the offense did and the talent that they have, man, there's a lot of really confident Vols fans around here. And the place is going to be pretty much packed tonight. And they love their team. There's no doubt.
And listen, that's why we're about to sit down and listen to you and your team do the game. But, you know, there just seems to be outrage from some of them that they're not in the top 25 and they're not this and they're not that. And they went 7-6, although I watch your broadcast of the bowl game. I'm still counting it as a win. I know you left the air with saying that Tennessee lost, and I'm still upset about that.
It was an ACC officiating crew, but we're not going to throw any stones. I think they have a right to be confident, and they have a right. Listen, this fan base, and I used to live here. I lived here for 5 years when I was calling minor league baseball. I still probably owe some people money in town. The bartender at Toddy's is still waiting for me to come by and pay off a tab from about 10 years ago, and that's fine. I get it. I'll make it there sometime. But the fact is, they think that they belong in the upper tier, and their history would suggest that they do belong in the upper tier. Their recent history, you know, since – Lane Kiffin came in and then left town with mattresses burning, is drastically different. So where does that confidence come from? You know, Josh Heupel came in and rebuilt the program in 1 year and turned this thing around. And this was after they had lost 30-ish, 35 players to the transfer portal. And not just walk-ons or guys who were hurt, guys that they wanted to leave the program, starting linebackers, Henry To'oto'o, offensive linemen, running backs. So what he was able to do last year, I think, gave this fan base – this renewed sense of confidence. You know, we are here for the Ole Miss game. And the way that they forget about the mustard bottle and the vape pens and the golf balls and everything that ended up on the field. The way they welcomed Lane Kiffin when he walked on the field before the game, that was, to me, a great example of the confidence that this fan base has. Hey, we belong. And they puff out their chest and they say, we should be in the same conversation as all these other great SEC teams. To do that, their defense has got to be better. Josh Heupel's defenses over the years, because the offense is out there so much, they can afford to be not elite, but they got to be better in the red zone. They got to be better on third down. And when we talked to the coaching staff yesterday, they said the key to that is to get more pressure from their front four without having to bring pressure from others. So that's something we'll be watching tonight in this game against Ball State.
I mean, you talked about him a minute ago, but look, I want to spend another minute or two before you go on Hendon Hooker and Josh Heupel and what he brings and how dynamic this offense is. As you're calling a game, it moves quickly. Not that you aren't prepared for anything, but what are you learning that you thought you knew or maybe you didn't know about Hooker and Heupel, especially just the way he calls a game?
Well, there's a learning curve anytime a new coach comes in, but there's also, I think, a steeper learning curve when you come in and you change everything drastically on one side of the ball, really on either side of the ball. But, you know, hey, Georgia Tech is a great example. They went away from running the flex option under Paul Johnson. They bring in Jeff Collins. They still can't figure out their personnel situation and get the recruiting right. Josh Heupel comes in. He brings in a couple of new quarterbacks. He brings in this up-tempo system. And they had to, you know, it took them a game and a half to get their footing to kind of figure things out. But they got there. And one of the things Heupel brought up yesterday that I hadn't really considered, you look at Hendon Hooker's history at Virginia Tech. He played in a lot of games. And he was out there for big games. But he was also benched and then started again and then benched and then started again. And anytime you yo-yo a player like that, even in the NFL, you yo-yo a quarterback like that, that obviously impacts their confidence. And that was something that this staff was aware of, and they knew what he'd been through, and they wanted to pump him up and put him in the right place and put him in the right position. And lo and behold, he was able to get him there. By the way, we shouldn't forget about Joe Milton. I mean, we were at practice yesterday. This guy's got one of the best arms I've ever seen in person, and he's a physical specimen, and he's great friends with Hooker. And there's going to be a time this season where they need Milton in a game. So, you know, Cole laughed at me when he asked me what I was looking forward to in this game, and I said, I want to see Joe Milton. And that's true, because I think we'll get a chance to see him maybe in the first half, and I want to see what he can do within the scope of this offense, and can he be reliable and dependable and make the right decisions. And can he be somebody – he's not going to take the starting job from his roommate, Hendon Hooker, but can he be somebody that they can lean on if Hooker misses any time whatsoever?
Final question is the most important. When have you ever cared what Cole Kubelik thought about anything?
Well, you know, Cole has a very important role on our team. Very important. He's the one that drives us home from dinner.
Tom Hart, a couple hours away from Tennessee in Knoxville. Thanks, Tom. We'll see you soon. We're heading to the break here and more of your phone calls right after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we are back, and it's great to have you with us. You got something? Oh, Keith, bringing the Snickers bar. Thank you, Keith. So Snickers, somebody mentioned this a few minutes ago. What did he chase us with? Some moonshine? So the key components are peanuts, caramel, and nougat?
Nougat.
What is nougat? That's something you put in a couch or something? That's nougahyde. I'm sorry. It's got 250 calories. Too many for me. Okay, let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. Dave is up next. Good afternoon.
What's going on, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, the other day when I called, one of them Arkansas fans wanted to put his 2 cents in, so let me get on Arkansas, too. So you know, we don't like Arkansas either.
Oh, you don't? I didn't realize
We got history with them, and I'm going to tell you right now, we refer to them as Ozark Aggie or Inbred Aggie.
Okay.
And I was at that game last year in Fayetteville. I know we lost, and it wasn't good, and guess what? I don't want to hear about it because we ain't got the same team, and they ain't got the same team. We're a different team this year. But I'm going to tell you right now, I thought I was in hillbilly hell down there last year. It was like a scene out of Deliverance.
Why do you say I was there, too. I didn't notice that. What did you see that I didn't see?
I guess you wasn't sitting in the section I was.
No, I probably wasn't, but...
You know, we left out of there at Jar, so I didn't get to see the surrounding area, but it's probably about like College Station. You know, College Station's the only place in Texas, and I've lived here my whole life, where the sheet back up to the fence.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, everybody's got a different view, but
I guarantee you, that's the worst place I've ever seen. That place was worse than West Virginia.
I've always thought Fayetteville is one of the prettiest cities in college football.
Well, did you see the people in the stands?
I'll be there tomorrow. I've been there, I don't know, a
million
times.
But let me tell you this, though, too. What if you've got all the full set of cheerleaders from Arkansas, put them in one room, you know what you got?
I really don't know.
You got one full set of teeth. Oh! All right, Paul. So that's what I think about Arkansas.
Just for the record, you live in Austin, Texas, right?
That's right.
Willie and Waylon and the boys, huh?
Oh, yeah. You can't compare Austin to Fayetteville's like, I mean, come on. It's like comparing.
Well, the only thing I'll say about Fayetteville is usually I'm – yeah, I don't have to worry about inhaling a bunch of pot smoke.
Well, it is what it is. You can't help everybody.
No, you can't. Well, anyway, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. A very polite call on Fayetteville. Chris is up next. Hey, Chris, good afternoon.
It took you long enough, Paul. God darn. You sit here, keep running your mouth all season about Clemson. It's football season now. And I know you said something good the other day, but we ain't worrying about that the other day. We worry about what you said all season. So you keep that same energy all season long. I don't care about you saying nothing good about us, but remember, you said we're dead. Our coordinators leave. We're going to be a lower pack team. We're going to lose the ACC, all that. Just remember, everything you don't say, that's all I wanted to tell you, because we coming. We'll see you Alabama in the championship game. And you have a nice day, Paul.
Yeah, go Clemson. Ranger is up next in Knoxville. Hey, Ranger.
Hey, Paul. The last time I talked to you, it took me back to yesteryear when I got the courage to call a girl for a date, and it took about 2 seconds, and I was hung up on. And the funny thing is that the screener at the show said, that's an excellent question, and I asked it, and you hung up on me. But I wanted to two things real quick. I wanted to know if when Oklahoma gets in the SEC, and if they're not meeting their standard, do they come after Josh Heupel, and will Tennessee go after Lane Kiffin, because there's a contingency here?
I would say the answer on Lane Kiffin is no. I don't think Lane Kiffin is ever being hired by Tennessee again. They had a chance to hire Kiffin a couple of years ago, and they passed. And
yes.
I can't answer the Heupel question. What's passed is prologue, according to a pretty famous writer. I don't think, you know, him leaving under was it under Stoops that he left there, or Riley? I can't remember. When he left there, if he's successful at Tennessee, he would be very attractive to Oklahoma, mm-hmm, or anyone else for that matter.
Now, I have a favor to ask of you. you I've talked to you about my dad with a Korean War vet, and he's got Alzheimer's. And he's having a good day today. And I was wondering, he's watching, I'm in the other room, my younger brother's with him right now, watching the show. And I was wondering if you would give a shout out to Robert in Knoxville. And,
well, Ranger, I'd be delighted. And Robert from Knoxville, I hope you are still watching us and talking to your son Ranger about your courageous service to this country and everything that you've done to raise a great family. And we are in your debt, and we hope you have a great day and enjoy the first college football weekend.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Paul. I'll go see what the reaction is here in a minute.
I hope it's a good one, because we deeply appreciate you as well. Thank you, Ranger. Appreciate your call and your family in particular. Martin is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Martin.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing
I'd like to talk a little bit about Tennessee football. I know we've had some up and some more down years and up, but I'm really excited about this year. I think Josh Heupel and what I was going to ask you was your thoughts about Hooker for the Heisman Trophy. Is there a possibility that you would up there? I really think this is an outstanding kid. He really is.
Yeah, Martin, there's always that possibility, and I think he is a candidate. I think the Heisman depends on a number of things, and rightly or wrongly, it ultimately depends on how you play in the big games, because
right.
stats don't matter. Everybody in the Heisman race has big stats. Sometimes they can be so overwhelming, but I think if he performs well against the teams that matter, and we all know who they are, then he can be
Georgia, Florida,
candidate.
Alabama, right?
Yeah, especially, yeah.
I'm just really excited about this year. Last year, you know, I still say that the Purdue, we got robbed, but hey, this is what the new year is for. Keep on tracking, and I'm really excited. Thanks for your time, Paul.
Thank you. The great part about the Purdue game is when 7 o'clock comes tonight, that game doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, and this season is the key. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Charlie.
I know you know the answer to this question. Why do we drink and why do we smoke dope?
Tell me.
It's a family tradition. That's why we're Alabama. That's why everybody hates us for, because we're arrogant. 12 national titles. But hey, but my question to you today is, does Troy have a chance against Ole Miss? You know I'm a Troy grad.
Troy's got a really good football program, and I think they could catch Ole Miss a little bit off guard, but ultimately, Ole Miss has too much. We will be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.